It's 88.5 KCSN, Sky Daniels, and I'm joined by Rhiannon Giddens. Welcome.
Thank you.
For those of the audience that don't know, the Carolina Chocolate Drops, Grammy nominations, new Basement Tapes, now your evolving solo career. But you started out as a classically trained vocalist.
I did, and I do want to add, because it is kind of a cool thing that we did win.
Yes,
the Grammy. So
that's right.
Yeah, it's on my piano. It was. I started off as a classical singer, trained at Oberlin Conservatory. That was how my formal music career started. But before then, I had done a ton of singing with my family. You know, just in the home. So,
but what was your own personal agenda, your intentions as a performer? Were you planning on going into opera or classical music?
Oh, yeah, that's a lot of training for that. And I, you know, did lots of operas, and I went to some grad school, and I did some outreach programs with, you know, professional opera companies. And I was pretty much really going to go for it. And then I got burnt out on it. And the thing about the opera world is that you're dependent on other people to make your career. Like, you are auditioning for people, and you're, you know, there's a lot of stuff that goes on that you don't have any control over. And I got really tired of that. And I was simultaneously getting into, you know, folk music, roots music, really kind of this stuff even earlier than I had heard as a kid. You know, I'd heard a lot of revival stuff as a kid. And I was really attracted to that, not just because I fell in love with the banjo, which I did, but also because it's a homemade, kind of handmade music. You know, you do it yourself. You learn it yourself. You make it yourself. You teach yourself. Well, of course, you know, influenced by other performers,
sure.
But and you know, you take lessons here and there. But and then you just put on a show. And I just love that idea. And I just fell really into that kind of world and haven't really come out. Whoa!
Now let's take an example of the new Basement Tapes, in which I'm not going to say you were flung together, but you were brought together. It was a condensed atmosphere, and it was a time compacted atmosphere. It was basically, okay, we're in it. Let's figure it out. Everybody come home on Monday with a couple of songs.
Yeah.
Wasn't that pretty much how it went?
I mean, it was insane. I probably will never have another experience like that again, because, like, also for me, last year was a big year for me because it was sort of my first year stepping out outside of the Carolina Chocolate Drops, you know?
Yeah.
And so I was just adrift. Like, what do I do? I haven't written that many songs. Like, why am I here? Oh my God, you know? And, but that's really when you can do some of your best creating, is when you're completely off your balance, you know? And everybody was off balance, of course, because they're coming in, they don't have their bands, you know? And I think everybody just threw themselves into it. Like, we just want to be here to do this. This is such a great thing. And, you know, no, there weren't any egos, and there weren't any, you know, it was just like create, create, create. And it was super intense. It was amazing. You know, I mean, how many people get an opportunity like that, you know, with the best, you know, engineers and equipment, and, you know, so, I mean, I learned a lot from that experience. I mean, so much.
I remember in our conversation with the entire basement, new Basement Tapes, I think it was Jim, I'm trying to remember, who said, it took you back to that, when you first were putting a band together and seeing, can we do this? And
yeah.
How do we do this?
Yeah.
And who's playing what? And it invoked that feeling of the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And it just happened to be with world-class musicians.
Yeah, yeah.
And I guess the ego part would be necessary. And probably we do have to give some credit to T-Bone for recognizing who would fit.
We've got to give a lot of credit to T-Bone. I mean, that's where it starts. You know, if the first moment of the recording project isn't there, none of it's there, you know, and he's the one who set that up and knew who would go together, and or at least had an idea that this would work, you know. I'd like to think he, you know, didn't know exactly how it was going to turn out, because, you know, he's awesome. Hopefully he's not, you know, omnipotent, but, you know, it was just like that's the first step. And he's, I do think he's a genius with that kind of thing, just knowing. And then not just kind of like, you know, setting it to spin and letting it go. He stayed in there and was just like, you know, let's do, I think we got it, or, you know, but he knew when to do that and
good
when to let the energy,
manner.
Yeah, just knew when to let the energy go and when to cut it and when to keep probing. And it was really amazing and spiritual. And for me, I was hung up a lot on my own stuff and just, you know, it was my first time away from my family for a long time. And with, you know, baby had, you know, I'd left the baby for the first time and, he was over one, but, and I was just kind of, there was all this stuff going on and we sat and listened to all the things we had done the last night. And I was just like, I just had this epiphany. It was just, it was intense epiphany. And I went back to the hotel and I stayed up all night and I wrote the song. And it was like the chord structure, everything was real synthesis of, you know, things that I'd heard Elvis say and whatever and the stuff I was struggling with. And then I came in that morning and recorded it at Capitol and then just like played it for the guys because I know I wouldn't be able to play it in front of them, you know. And it was just a really, you know, really important moment for me. And that's all I thought about the song. And then T-Bone was like, let's put this on your record. And I was like, oh. Yeah, okay. You know, it makes sense with, you know, the theme of the record and, you know, kind of paying homage to people who help you out and are there with you. And so I'm really happy that, you know, it ended up on.
And it was born record. And it was born of, you know, that shared pursuit, you know, that shared pursuit of, you know, the celebration of music, you know, and
yeah. You
went in inspired and again, we talk about how T-Bone is great with the bedside manner. He recognized, you know, you touched something there that matters to you. This needs to go on the record.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it was great. I wouldn't have thought of it, you know, which is why he's there. And so it was just, for me, it was like one of the first times I've ever sort of had an emotional response that turned into a song, you know, instead of sort of a historical thing or something like that, you know. And so it's an important milestone in my artistic life.
And it will, I'm sure now, even as we talk about it and as you're conscious of it, it will become part of this evolving process as you make your music.
Yeah, definitely. Stock, heartbroken, bitter and poor, burdened down by sin. I fought hard to find the door, didn't know how to get in. Time and time at hand, you helped me over the sand. Gently rising to be, you walked a mile with me, and I saw the sea. I'm found where I was lost. Closer to free, heart unbound, whatever the cost, all rivers fall to the sea. Time and time at hand, you helped me over the sand, gently rising. I saw the sea. time at hand helped me over the sand, gently rising to be. Walked a mile with me, and I saw the sea.
You talked about time, and you haven't mentioned the other fact, which is something that has to be, and it always fascinates me on one level, but it's if I'm being pragmatic, you're also a mother.
I am.
And every mother, you know, the role of a mother is demanding and is rewarding and is massive. And then there's four or five, just the projects we've mentioned and the choices we've mentioned. How do you make all that work?
Very carefully. I have a fantastic husband, you know. I mean, I used to tour with the kids. We used to tour, like, with my daughter until she was 3 and a half, and then my son when he came along while I was nursing them. And now she's in school, so this is the first, last year was the first year I started taking time away from them, which is, you know, we've all adjusted. They're amazing road kids.
Do you Skype?
Oh, yeah, we Skype and FaceTime and all. We use the technology, you know. Right. But we also are very careful how much we use the technology because, you know, I got rid of my TV about 10 years ago when I realized the time it was taking away from my practice. You know, and it's not to say I have like two shows that I watch on, you know, I download onto my iPad when I'm on the plane, I watch the shows, you know, and I enjoy it so much, but I enjoy it a lot more knowing that it's real concentrated. So like, there's just things that that we don't do, you know, because we choose to spend time either with the kids or I'm practicing or I'm reading these history books. And, you know, it's just, it all boils down to choices. That's how you have the time. You have to cut out some things and just kind of let it go and just go, you know, yeah, I'm not going to sit here and play this game. I don't have time. I'm going to do something else. And that's okay.
Do the kids, are they getting old enough to appreciate music on their own?
They are. I mean, my daughter, I love the fact that she loves the Black Keys and she's doing interpretive dance to the Punch Brothers' new record and she's playing Tin Whistle. And, you know, she's got this weird outlook on music for a 5-year-old that is definitely influenced by the fact that she came on every show for 3 and a half years and was exposed to that world. And so I, you know, she didn't have to be a musician, but I hope that she always has a love for music, you know, and it's going to be fun to watch that develop in both of them.
That will be interesting. The family that plays together could be a possibility.
I would love that.
Well, if they've gone on tour with you, now it's like, well, now you actually, when you're on tour, you're going to be doing some work. You're playing bass, you're playing this.
Well, no, her dream is to be assistant merch merchandiser.
Always a position that needs filled.
It's hilarious.
She's aiming on a very practical basis.
Is,
you
yeah.
can definitely.
I can use that.
Great to see how content you are at this place in your life. There's a sense of content and appreciation, gratitude, really, that you feel things are coming together. And as you said, that sometimes there's a larger sense of purpose and you just know when to follow that instinct. We appreciate you coming out here today and sharing that enthusiasm with us. And obviously, we want to continue to share our enthusiasm for you and your music. So we appreciate you, Rhiannon, and coming to 88.5 KCSN. Thanks for doing it.
Thank you. Thanks for the conversation. It was cool.
No problem. It's Rhiannon Giddens, and it's 88.5 KCSN.